Forum is coming up, and so the last 2 weeks we've looked at the last two times we've looked at different things about Midrash Esther. I mentioned as a kind of general rule about Midrash that the Chachmei Midrash generally pick up on the theme, the underlying theme of the book that they're commenting on, that they're expounding on, and they run with that theme. So, for instance, Bereishit, lots of the Midrashim pick up on Bereishit themes and expand on them. Eicha, for instance, is way more tragic than Megillat Eicha is. And Midrash Esther is actually quite funny because Megillat Esther is funny. You want me to point out some of the humor in Megillat
Sure.
Esther? Okay, so I'll just give you a couple quick examples. As the one that stands out right away is that in the middle of the night, Haman comes running into the king's palace to ask him if he can impale Mordechai on a gallows, right? And in the meantime, the king can't sleep, and the king has had the chronicles read, and in the chronicles it says that Mordechai has saved him, and he hasn't done anything for Mordechai, so he wants to figure out how to honor him. So Haman comes in, and they both want each other. Haman wants to ask the king permission, and the king wants to ask Haman advice, and they both have the same thing in mind. They both want to elevate Mordechai. Of course, they have, and we're gonna actually see something like that here in the
Very
Midrash.
good.
No, it's it the humor is deliberate there, and there's so many other instances in the Megillah when you read it kind of from a distance a little bit, just kind of read the story that there's just this really biting humor that operates right underneath the surface. It's not all that hard to identify. And so the Midrash goes further with it. And we're going to see a few examples of that here today. And what I want to do is pick up on a theme that we did 2 weeks ago, which was comparing, contrasting. Today it's going to be more comparing, but contrasting the way that the Midrashim in Eretz Yisrael developed some of the Purim themes and the Midrashim in Bavel. And again, a word about Midrashim in Bavel. Almost always when we talk about Midrash Agadah, really any Midrash, we're talking about Midrash Eretz Yisrael. Almost all the popular collections of Midrashim were collections from Eretz Yisrael. And the Chachamim that are the Darshanim there, by and large, are Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. Once in a while, you'll hear a report that a Chacham in Bavel said this. You'll hear his name. It gets around, but typically it's Eretz Yisrael.
But
And
if you study Gemara,
I'm talking about Gemara. Talking about
they're
Midrashim.
commonly referring to a Midrash.
I'm talking about the Midrashic collections. Midrashic collections are, by and large, they're all pretty much Eretz Yisrael collections.
Well, how did they come
And
about? In other words, they
no,
didn't
no,
write it in the Gemara.
I'm just saying the collections that we have, Bereishit Rab, Midrash Rabba, Midrash Tanchuma, etc., are all Eretz Yisrael collections. We have very few Midrashim that are anchored. It doesn't mean there weren't Midrashim happening, but the ones that we have in the Midrashic collections. So we have Midrash Rabba on 10 books, the 10 books that were read publicly. So we have the five Chumashim and the five Megillot. And Esther Rabbah is an Eretz Israeli collection. On the other hand, we have something which is unique in the context of Megillat Esther, which is the Babylonian Esther Midrash. That's what they like to call it, the BEM, Babylonian Esther Midrash, which is the collection in Masechet Megillah from Daf Yod through the end of the first parak. Yud Zayin goes all the way through the Megillah from Vayimei Achashverosh to Dover Shalom L'chol Zaro. To the very beginning to the end, and many of the famous Agadot that we have about Vashti's tale and about Esther being green and about the Malach helping here and the Malach kicking Haman in the pants in the back, all of that are all found in there, and it's presented in order. We have no other book in Tanakh that's anything close to that in the Gemara. And so we have a chance when it comes to Esther to sort of contrast how the story was developed and how the understanding was presented and taught and understood in Bavel versus Eretz Yisrael. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at some fundamental issues there where it was pretty clear that in Eretz Yisrael, they were not as thrilled with the miracle of Purim as they were in Bavel, and we saw that then. I want to take a look at one snippet of a scene in the Megillah, which is way more than a snippet, and to see how the Midrashim developed it. And it's really delightful. To give you the background, on that humorous night, Haman comes running into the palace in the middle of the night, wants to ask the king for permission to have Mordechai impaled on the gallows he's got in his own backyard. And the king, in the meantime, can't sleep because he's nervous what's happening with Esther and Haman and his party. And therefore, the king has the chronicles read, finds that Mordechai did him a favor, he never honored him. How does he honor him? Haman walks in and says, he wants to come to the king, and the king says, let him come in. Now, Haman wants something from the king wants something from Haman. Guess who gets to go first? Right? So the king says, brilliantly, by the way, and this immediately puts to lie the idea that Ahasuerus is anything but brilliant. He's brilliant. He says to Haman, what should I do for somebody, what should be done for somebody that the king really wants to honor? Right? Knowing that he's going to trap Haman into essentially stating what he wants, because he knows that Haman will think it's him. And Haman says, the man who you really want to honor, they shouldn't be ridden on the horse, and the clothing, etc., and they should have a servant walk in front of him and declare, this is what happens for a man who the king wants to favor. And then the king turns around and says, good idea, go do it for Mordechai. And that's like already the end of the story. That's the beginning of the fall. So he says it, Asechein the Mordechai Hayudi, Hayoshe b'shar melech. That's the way he says it. Now, the first thing the Midrash picks up on, and taking a look at page 1, and page 1, by the way, I have the whole translation on the back, which is the translation of the Gemara, on the back side of page 1, and along with some interspersed comments that are not mine. And so let's look at this through and just kind of learn it through. Time permitting, this is a Babylonian Midrash, although you'll see Eretz Yisrael characters come in here a little bit. And then, time permitting, we're going to take a look at the Eretz Yisrael Midrash. Time not permitting, we'll save it for another year. V'asechein Mordechai HaYudi. So now the Midrash says, Amarle, because it bothered, why did it say Mordechai HaYudi HaYoshev B'Shar HaMelech? All these, it's kind of like Rachel, Bitcha, Tana. It's too defining. So Amarle, Mano Mordechai. So Haman, taken aback here because the king has just told him, not you're going to ride on the horse, but you're going to lead somebody, says, which Mordechai? Mordechai is a popular name. Amarle HaYehudi. Say to Stan, Mordechai Yehudi V'Shem V'Shar HaMelech, which is a phrase, now becomes a series of responses. Mordechai, which Mordechai? HaYehudi. Amarle Tuva Mordechai Ika B'Yudoi. He says, there's a lot of Mordechais among the Jews, which, by the way, may be a subtle dig at the rate of assimilation among the Jews, because Mordechai is a progressive pagan name, not our problem here. Amarle Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech. So his answer is the one who's sitting by the gates, which means Mordechai, a lot of Mordechais, Hayudi, a lot of Jewish Mordechais, Hashem B'Shar HaMelech. Now we know who it is. So now, remember, the Haman had described the scene. All the king said was, do it. He didn't describe it. He said, do it for Mordechai. Amarle. So what does Haman say back to him in this Midrashic discussion? Sagile b'chad diskrita inami b'chad nahara. Give him some little region. Like, make him lord over a region. Or even give him some sort of river. Name a river after him. Meaning, give him something less. That'll be enough. So watch this. Amrale hainami ayvlai. So the king says, do that also. Why? Al tapel davar mikol asher dibarta. Because in the text, what does Ahasuerus say to Haman? Asechein le Mordechai HaYehudi, do this for Mordechai HaYehudi, HaYoshev B'Shar HaMelech. And then he says, Al tapel davar mikol asher dibarta. Don't leave anything out from what you described. Which simply means exactly what you said about the horse and the garments and the slave and the proclamation. Don't leave anything out. But the way Midrash is reading it is, Haman kept piling more things on because he's trying to get out of having to do this. And the king says, good idea, don't leave anything out. Leave all that, put all that stuff in. Now, by the way, you understand the Balei Midrash are having fun here. I don't mean to make light of it, but they are taking the humor of the scene and they're expanding it. Now, here we get to the real middle of it. I want you to picture this. Mordechai knows nothing of what's going on. Mordechai is out in the street wearing sackcloth and ashes, mourning, and he doesn't know, but he knows something about the parties maybe, but that day he's going to become a star in the city. He doesn't know it. So Haman takes, the text says, Vayikach Haman tavush v'tasus. Haman takes the garments and the horse, which means we don't even have a stable rider. We have Haman himself bringing the horse out and the garments, and he puts, and Vayalbeshet Mordechai. It says he dresses Mordechai. Vayarkiveyu al asus, and he rides him on the horse. So the Midrash picks up on every one of these things as an opportunity to make fun of Haman and have fun with the situation. Watch it. What happened? So now, this is the Babylonian version. The Eretz Yisrael version references this. It says, over there, there's what they say. It's very cute. They say, Taman Amri. Haman comes, and what does he see? He sees Mordechai teaching the students Hilchot Kmitza. What meaning? The laws of Kmitza. What's Kmitza? When you have a Korban Mincha, a grain offering, the Kohen takes his fingers, watch this visual, takes three fingers, puts it in the grain, and takes one scoop of that, and that goes in another kli that goes on the Yizbeach. The rest of the Mincha is baked in some form or another, eaten. All right, one little kmitza of grain. Okay, l'rabanan. Kevan dechazie Mordechai da'apik l'kivlei. So Mordechai is doing this, showing them how to do it. Mordechai sees Haman coming out. V'susei, and he sees he's bringing a horse. He assumes mechad biyadei, mechad biyadei. He sees the horse looped in his hand, the rope. Mirtat. He got scared. Amar l'rabanan, hai rishia l'mikto nafshi ka'ati. This guy's coming to kill me. That's what he thinks. Because he figures that Haman is coming out with a horse in order to do what? To either put him up, well, they didn't do hanging in those days, but maybe to parade his dead body around, right? Why else is Haman coming to me? It must be to kill me. Zilu mikame, run away. Dilo tichbu begachalto.
Why all of the hanging?
They impale. And hanging is a much later thing.
Oh, really? So yeah. Haman was not hung?
No, he was impaled.
What about the gallows?
Well,
you impaled on the gallows.
This is gallows the not I've a, ever heard
your
of.
Picture. Okay, well.
Thank you.
Okay, sure.
But in the old Westerns, I used to.
Yeah, it's correct. All right. Well, this is an older Eastern. Ki lo tichvu begachalto. Careful that you don't get burned by his coal of Haman. What did Mordechai do? He put his talit on, he started davening. Now get the picture. Mordechai is davening. The students have run away. In this scene, Mordechai is davening, and Haman is waiting for him. Okay? And he waits for a long time until Mordechai finishes his davening. And now Haman says to Mordechai, "B'may askitu? What were you guys doing? Because I saw you were teaching. What were you teaching?" When we had a Beit HaMikdash, because remember, in the Midrash's scenario, the Mikdash has not been rebuilt yet. So when we had a Beit HaMikdash, somebody who wanted to bring a mincha would bring one kometz and he'd get kapara. So your one little kometz of flour came, v'dachi asar alfi kikari kaspididi, pushed away my 10,000 talents of silver. That, of course, I offered the king. Right? Amrale Rasha. And so now, Mordechai says, you Rasha, eved shekanan nechassim, eved l'minu chassim l'mi. Now, this goes on a midrashic trope that Haman was a slave. And in fact, one of the midrashic tropes of that is, Haman was a slave of Mordechai. Right? So, picking up on that, he says, what kind of thing? You think you had 10,000? You had nothing. After all, anything you own belongs to your master, which may be me. Maybe he's saying you're an Eved to Achashverosh. But either way, he's saying, Haman is saying actually a very firm thing. Your little comets pushed away my bribe to try to get you killed. And Mordechai comes along and says, and kind of makes light of that, says, bribe, you don't have any money. Okay. Now, before we go further, I want you to turn the page. Because you're going to see the Eretz Yisrael version of this part of it. Turn to page 3, and you have the translation underneath. Okay? This is Midrash Esther Rabbah, parallel. Maher kach lo usha, et cetera. Halach lo etzel Mordechai. Okay? He comes to Mordechai. Now watch the differences. Kevan shi gidu le Mordechai shuba. They told Mordechai he was coming. Nityare admeor. He got very frightened. He was sitting there with his students. Now, by the way, in both stories, Mordechai has students, and he's teaching them in the street. Run away from here so you don't get burned up with my coal. Not his coal, my coal. In other words, I'm going to get burned up. He's coming to kill me. By the way, that's similar. Watch this. Amru, im tamut namutimach. What do the students say to Mordechai in this version? If you're going to die, we die with you. It sounds exactly like whom? It's Ruth and Naomi.
Masada.
Ruth and Naomi, right? Amar lahem, im kein namod bitfilah v'nipater mitoch tfilah. So Mordechai accepts it. You're not going to run away? Fine. Let's daven. And we'll die davening. Right? We'll all die davening. V'chastun sloton, and they started davening, yatun v'askin b'hilchon mitzvah t'omer. And then they started studying the mitzvah of the Omer. Now, by the way, remember in the Bavli version, he's showing kmitza. Here, they're specifically dealing with the Omer. Why? Share oto hayom tet zayin b'nisan haya. What day was it? Now, remember, the Midrash does the following thing with the text. What day in the text was the decree written to kill Jews? The 13th of Nisan.
Right.
Esther finds out about it in the Midrash that day. That day she decrees 3 days of fasting. Dahinu, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th. On the 15th, she comes to the king and says, come to a party. The king comes to the party on the 15th.
Which is the Seder.
Which is either the Seder or second Seder, the Chutzlars, right? Then the next day, Mordechai gets paraded through the city. That's the 16th, right? It was the 15th at night, Motzei Chag.
And when was this Midrash written?
This Midrash was composed, I don't know what it was written. Composed, very likely it's has its roots in the 4th or 5th century, but it's later than that. Okay? Now, the day is the 16th of Nisan in the Midrash. By the way, in the text of the Megillah, we have no idea what happens. Have lots of reasons to suggest that the whole party thing and the marching Mordechai to the city happened much, much later for several reasons. But in the Midrash, it's the 16th of Nisan. 16th of Nisan, today is the day of the Omer. So I was looking, learning the days, the laws of the Omer. Why is that relevant? Watch this. Ata Haman legabeon. Haman came there. Amar lo b'me'at tenoskin. What are you studying? That's similar to the Midrash in Bavel. Amar lo b'mitzvat ha'omer. They said to him, meaning the students who are still there, turned to Haman and said, we're studying about the Omer. Ha'adu l'chtiv im tagrien. They quote a pasuk from Vayikra. Taman Amri, there they say, meaning, this is Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel they say, Hilchot Kmitza Achvulei. They were showing them Hilchot Kmitza. That's what our Midrash. And then the Midrashim were referring to each other. But Davar Echad Sheyukom Tzim Nina Omer. Right? And one thing, how much they take one little bit from the Omer. The Omer is a Mincha. Amr Lahon, Vahadein Umra Mahu Jidahavu Dechsaf. Is this Omer offering gold or silver? Right? Amr Lehi Lo Dahav, Velo Dechsaf, Velo Dechitin. It's not even wheat. Ela Sorin, it's barley, animal food. Amrlon b'chamahu timei didei. How much do you have to spend to buy this comex? Right? Havasara kantarin. Kantarin is like centurion, like 100 pieces of expensive. Amrlei sagu asar money. No, it's very cheap. On kumi denitzchon asar minchon lasara alfe kantarin nechsafti li. Your little cheap 10 pennies beat my 10,000 talents of silver. Now you notice the same midrash, but notice how it's gone differently, right? What's critical is the students are still there. Now,
they also prayed very quickly.
What? We have no idea how long it took.
Oh, just because Mordechai still praying.
We don't know if that's happening here. That was happening in the Bavli version. Kevin the Chasl Mimatzli. All right. So, what? Means that I tried to bribe, to use this money to bribe to get you killed. In the meantime, you're being saved. And evidently, he's like I was saying, Haman's talking very firm, saying the schut of your little bit of korban beat my big thing, right? No, that Haman at this point evidently is aware that it's all over, in the Midrash, right? Yeah. Now go back to page one. Go back to page one. Amar lei kum levosh hani mani. What?
Took away the decree.
No, the decree's not taken away. Haman can read the writing on the wall. You can see. This is in the Midrash. Amar Leh, in the middle of page one. Kum levosh hanimani, urchov. So now Haman, after this discussion, we saw both versions, says, put on the clothes and ride on the horse. Aizusia, debari lach malka, the king wants you. Amarle lo yachilna. I can't do it. Adayalna leve bani. Until I go to the bathhouse. Ve'eshkol amazia. And I take a haircut. It's not right to wear the king's clothes when you're smelly and when you're not shaven, right? Okay. So watch this. In the Bavli version, Shadra Esther v'asartina l'kulu b'imani. Esther commanded all the bathhouses be closed. L'kulu umni, and she put all the barbers, like day off for the barbers. So now, Mordechai needs a bath and a shave, but there's no access. Aile Iul of Ebani, Haman himself goes into the bathhouse, Va'aschin, he bathes Mordechai. Now I want you to get the irony of it. He could very easily take Mordechai and drown him. Right? But he's bathing Mordechai. It gets better. Va'azava'aiti zuzim ibeite. Then he goes to his house, his own house, and brings a scissors. Vekashakil be'mazia, and he's cutting Mordechai's head. I want you to get the image. Here's Mordechai sitting there. Getting his hair cut. Here's Haman cutting his hair with a scissors near his open neck. Right? Oh, I just want to watch. In gad v'itnach. Right? Bahadi de kashak yoleh in gad v'itnach. While he is cutting his hair, Haman starts sighing. Of course he starts sighing. Right? Amarleh, am I coming nachat? So Mordechai says, what are you sighing about? Amarleh, gavra davichashi leh the malka mikulu ravinoi. The man who was more important to the king than all of his other ministers, hashashami balani v'sapari, should become a bathhouse attendant. And a barber, right? Amarle, Russia. Now, we've had this before. Lav saparshal kvar kotso maita. And so Mordechai mentions a statement that we hear it confirmed in a Braita that Haman used to make his living as a barber. So it's a big deal. You're a barber again. Fatar de shaklinu lemazia. After he finished cutting his hair. Lav shinu lemane. So Haman then dresses Mordechai. Amarle saku rechav. He says, get up on the horse and ride. Amarle lo yachilna. I can't. Why? Dikhisha chiloi mimei tanita. I'm very weak from fasting. Why am I fasting? Because you want to kill me. I'm fasting. Gochin v'salik. So what happened? Haman bends over so that it gets better. So that Mordechai can climb up Haman to get up on the horse. Kisalik ba'atbe. As he's going up, he kicks Haman in the behind. Amarle, I told you, this is right. Amarle, lok tiv lechub and fali v'chad dismach. So Haman, of course, quotes Mishle and says, you're not supposed to rejoice when your enemy suffers. Right? Why are you doing this? Amarle, hani mili be Israel. That's only when another Jew suffers. Relative to yuktiv, atal bamote motidroch. You will ride on their high places. Now, the irony here is so biting, but I don't want to do it yet until you turn the page. I want to see what happens in the parallel story here as well. The one on page 3, you can follow in English, but we're going to pick it up from the Hebrew and the line that starts Tichsafti li Kevon dechasal. It's the line starts Tichsafti li, it's right halfway down Kevon dechasal mimitzle. Okay, so now back in the story when, and this is the Babylonian, the Israel version. Mordechai finishes davening. Amarle Haman the Mordechai, levosh adin levush the malka. Put on this royal garment. Amarlo mat mazem malchut. You are degrading the kingdom. Eat barnash lavish levush the machutav losach. Can anybody put on the king's garments without bathing? Azal boy balan of aloashka. Haman looked around, couldn't find a bathhouse attendant. So Esther's not part of this in the story. Ma avar asar chartze v'al aschei. So Haman puts on his, girds himself up, and he goes and he bathes Mordechai. When he comes out of the bathhouse, he says, okay, put on this crown. Amarle, mat vaza machuta, you're degrading the king. Again, same line. Ipar nashlovish kli de machuta v'lomus vaper. Can anybody put on the king's crown without getting a haircut first? Notice how he's saying it. He's not saying you have to get a haircut. He's talking, this is the way we do it, right? Azabai sapar v'lashkach. So now Haman is looking around, can't find a barber. Again, this is not Esther's doing. He just can't find a barber. Ma'avid azel levete va'aiti sapara. He goes home and gets a scissors. Same thing. V'yadigam saperle. Shari umetnach. Again, he sighed. Amarle mamach matnach. Why are you sighing? Notice how close these stories are. Amarle vaila vuadu gavra ma'avir dumin panton. This is a Greek title. It's like the guy who arranges. And now we find out what, according to the Midrash, Haman's job was. The guy who arranges the meetings of the king. Panton means all of them. He's the guy in charge of all of them. Kletu Aviv, now he's become a barber and a bathhouse attendant. Amar le vahish ilit lach leit ana chakim lavoi to gavra v'lanu sapar b'chvar karnes. Why are you saying woe to the father of me? I know about your father. Your father was a barber and a bathhouse attendant. Similar to the story. Shkachan mani sapar didein. You know whose scissors you found? You found your father's scissors. Amar le kum rechov al hadein susya. Get up on the horse. Amar le leit bikoach. I don't have power. I don't have strength. Why? What do we hear in Bavel? Fasting. Da ana siv. I'm old. Simply, I'm old. Amar le v'leit ana b'gar siv. So Haman says, aren't I also old? And it's like he understands that Mordechai is asking Haman for help. Haman says, I'm also an old guy. Amar le v'lo atu negram t'na afshach. You brought this on yourself. What are you complaining about? Amar le kum da ana samich kadli v'atari si eloi. So Haman now says, get up, I'm going to get on all fours, you climb on my back and get up. And you ride on top. And Haman is the one who says, and you will be able to fulfill the pasuk that says, you ride on their high places. Now, what does he mean? What does he mean? What does he mean by riding on the high places? So the pasuk at the end of the Torah, the very end before Ma'ona, you will ride on their high places. The simple reading of that is that you're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael and you will take the highlands. Atalba Motema Tidroch here is a clear insult, because what is Mordechai doing? He's climbing on Haman's backside. And it's like, that's your bama. But there's a whole other subtle midrashic thing going on, because according to the midrash, why didn't Mordechai bow to Haman? Because Haman had declared himself to be an Avodah Zar. You ride on their high places, he's interpreting in the Torah, meaning you are going to ride on their worship sites, bamot. I'm going to stand on your backside and I'm going to ride on your worship place. And that's your behind. There's like needles inside of needles here in this text.
Is there any other Megillah that has got all of this humor? I mean, this is so...
Now, this is not Megillah, this is Midrash. Midrash Esther is filled with humor. I'm just showing you a few examples.
The Megillah itself does not have all of this humor.
Megillah itself, no. But there's humor in the Megillah. You got to look carefully. You'll see it. What? So take a look here. Vayikra Lefanav on page 1. Vayikra Lefanav. I want to finish this off. What? This is the bottom of page 1. Vayikra Lefanav. It's back in the Babylonian Midrash. It's like three segments: the preparation, the whole bathing thing, and now the riding. All right. This is the Babylonian version is delightful. The Eretz Yisrael version is equally but differently delightful. So they were riding through Haman Street. Chazite barte de kaima igra. The daughter was standing. Haman's daughter is standing on the roof. Savra haidu rachiv avu haidu maski kamei Mordechai. She figured the guy who's riding with the king's outfit must be her father, and the slave guy leading her must be Mordechai. Kshakla atzita veitakise. She had the chamber pot in her hand. Shadite aresha davu. She dumped it on her father's head. This is right. The Dali Ene Vachazat Davuahu. He looked up and she saw it was her father. Naftam Yigrela Armage jumped off the roof and died. Killed herself. Right? Hainudichtiv. That's why at the end of the march through Shushan it says, Vayasho Mordechai El Shar Melech. Mordechai returned, meaning, Vashal Sakol Tani Toh. He takes off the fancy clothes, goes back to sackcloth and ashes. Vahanan Chavve Toh Avel Vachafui Rosh. Haman, in the meantime, comes home. Avel and Chafui Rosh. Why Avel? Avel Albito, his daughter died. Chafui Rosh, because he got Fui on his head. Okay? Now turn to the back page and watch what happens in the Eretz Yisrael version. And this is just so gorgeous. There is a psalm, we study it here every 3 or 4 years, Hanukkah time. Psalm 30, Mizmoshir Chanukkah Tabayit David. Right? Watch, we all know the psalm. Take a look. Davar Acher. It's a page 4 of the Hebrew. I don't have an English for this, I apologize. There's another version. He comes to Mordechai and says, put the clothes on. And now watch what happens. None of the bathhouse, haircut, anything. It's a whole different take. Kama bish gada da ugavra. Haman says, Get, put the clothes on. I have such bad luck. Gada, like God, luck. I have such bad luck. Emesh ani ayiti asik latkin leitzliva. Last night I was preparing your cross. Remember in the Midrash, Eretz Yisrael, the gallows is a cross. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matkin leklila. In the meantime, God's preparing your crown. By the way,
he's saying that to Mordechai.
Yeah, but he's saying it out loud, right? He said, "Look how bad my luck is. Last night I was preparing a gallows for you, right? And now God." But notice the subtle anti-Christian polemic. I was preparing the cross, and God's preparing the crown. Think crown of thorns. Okay. Ani ayiti metaken la chavalim umasmerim. I was preparing ropes and nails. Right? Again, this is a crucifixion, not an impalement. God's preparing royal garments for you. Right? By the way, Haman, you try to go up against God, and you're not going to win.
Where's Christianity at this point?
What? All over Eretz Yisrael. This is 8th century. 8th century, even 4th century. Ana ba'ina min malka lemitzla v'yatach al tzliva. I want to put you up on the cross. V'hu amar li demir kavlach al susia. Remember I said at the beginning, we thought it was funny, that both Achashverosh and Haman want to raise Mordechai? That's what the Midrash is saying. God wants, I want to put you up on the cross, and God wants to put you up on a horse. Amor ulvosh, get up and put on the garments. Va'avid le kom adam renlel, do all of those things. Now watch this. Mordechai is on the horse and he starts praising God. What does he say? You've saved me. You know the psukim. Tamidav mayomrim. Now, by the way, this is new because it means Mordechai's students, remember in the first Midrash, they left. In the Eretz Yisrael Midrash, they stayed. Here, they're with the horse. They're walking around the horse. Mayomrim, Zamrula Adonai Chesedav, Hodu Lezechak, Joke, Rega, Bocha, Imer, Tzono, Berev, the Bocha, Vilo, Karina. This is the proper response. Hama Otora Shama Hayomer. What is Haman saying? I thought I would never fall. You turned away from me and suddenly I was lost. Haman is saying this. Esther Mahi Atomer. In the meantime, what's Esther saying? Wherever she is. Please, Hashem, save us. Knesset Yisrael Mahi Atomer. And what does Knesset Yisrael say? Shema Adonai Mechoneni Adonai Yerzali. Hafachtu Misudim Lachol Yibdach Zekurim Tzimcha. For HaKodesh Mahi Atomer. Lamanz Mechavar Adom Adonai Yerzali Amodeka. The entire Mizmor is seen as a call and response between Mordechai, his students, Haman, Esther, Knesset Yisrael, and Ruach HaKodesh. This is gorgeous. A tapestry like in Kamo. In the meantime, Bito Shel Haman, now notice, we got to get her in here. The Midrash has got to get, because Bito Shel Haman is such a great character. Bito Shel Haman ishkafa min hachalon lirot bat sliva. She looks down from the window to see the crucifixion. So they've switched things up. Kevan shirata Mordechai rocheva avia machriz lefanav kach yasel ha'ish. She sees now, which is no confusion, she sees Mordechai on the horse, and she hears her father saying, this is what was done for a man. What does she do? He shlich atzma la'artzumeta. She jumps off the roof and kills herself. So now, in this, no garbage, and no confusion. She sees exactly what's happening. Notice, clearly, a common Midrashic tradition. But also, you could see how the Midrashic tradition split. One of the splits that we see, for instance, is what is the role of the Talmidim? In the Bavli story, the Talmidim are there and leave, and that's it. We never hear from them again. In the Eretz Yisrael story, the Talmidim stay with him. The Talmidim are the ones who talk back and forth to Haman. The Talmidim are the ones who stay there for the song and respond. They're part of it. What? I don't know. I'm just pointing out the differences. In another one, in the Eretz Yisrael version, Mordechai is showing Hilchot Kmitza. It's very much Hilchot Kmitza of the Omer. It's very much related to the Korban HaOmer. And because it's barley, and because it's so cheap, and my cheap barley knocked away your cheap barley knocked away my 10,000 talents of silver, in the Eretz Yisrael, in the Bavli tradition, it's just general mincha, may or may not be significant. In the Bavli action, Esther plays a role, and she is behind the scenes, closing the bathhouses, shutting down the barbers, making Haman do all this work. In the Eretz Yisrael tradition, we have none of that. Does it happen, not happen, doesn't matter, the way that they're telling the story. What to make of these differences, I don't know. That's something we have a few days before Purim to think about. But notice how the same sub-story is being told about this dramatic scene with Haman and Mordechai before getting on the horse. Then Haman preparing Mordechai to go on the horse. And then the actual riding and what happens, the role of Haman's daughter seems to be consistent here. The role of Mordechai teaching something about a Korban Mincha seems to be consistent here. Why Dafka Mincha? Those particular themes are consistent to the two traditions.